and welcome along to another episode of the Punters Panel, brought to you by the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. My name is Tom Nugent, and I'm delighted to be with you ahead of the Aintree Festival, featuring, of course, the Grand National. And we have assembled an illustrious panel here for you to answer your questions ahead of the Aintree Festival. Grand National winning rider, Noel Slippers, man, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Nina Carberry, Irish Grand National winning rider, thanks for joining us.
You.
And Ryan McHugh, trader and kind of general, kind of just, we were in the corridor, so we
dragged
you in.
Yeah, came in. I was on the way to the toilet, actually, when you spotted me. ended up down the end here, so yeah, happy to be here.
Well, good, man. It's the thought that counts. Thanks for coming in, and we will let you go to the bathroom at some stage eventually. But the good news for you is, if you're listening to this as a podcast, well, don't forget that you can watch it on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe there, like the video, and get involved. There's lots of racing and content coming to you thick and fast on that platform ahead of Aintree. And of course, we'll have another Punters Panel episode coming to you ahead of the Pungasound Festival. So if you want to get involved with that, make sure you send in your questions to fthm@paddypower.com via email, and producer Mark will handle you from there, and you'll be able to put your racing questions to luminaries such as Ryan, who needed to go to the bathroom. But before we begin, the first pressing question from the production team, Slippers, was why Slippers? That was the burning question that everyone wanted to know. Why Slippers?
Just a little bit thinking about, oh, that's the biggest
question.
Well,
you know, we're struggling for content. So
father is Boots.
Yes.
And I have a little brother, we call him Socks.
Yes.
But it all started with Dad, obviously, with being called Boots when he was, I suppose, 16 or 17, when he was working for Edward O'Grady. Like all mothers do when you're growing up and getting a little bit stronger and bigger the whole time, she bought him a pair of boots that were a little bit big for him. So when he was walking, the heel used to drop out of the boot, and he was dragging him on the ground a bit. And then the lads used to be able to hear him before they could see him, so nicknamed him Boots, and it stuck.
And you just rolled on with
just
slippers?
Just rolled on with slippers then, and then Tom got nicknamed Socks, so hopefully that's the end of it now.
Did you ever feel like you got a raw deal with slippers? Did you go? Did you want something else? Did you want flip-flop or something? No,
definitely not flip-flops.
Okay.
Go on, Tom.
Okay, right. But you're happy enough with that?
Happy enough, yeah.
Right, well, thanks for joining us. And we're looking forward to getting stuck in to the questions coming from punters. But for some reason, the first question that we've got coming isn't from a punter. It's from Paddy Power's very own Patrick Canelli, who just can't let me have one error on my own. Solo. So here's PK's question.
Hi, Tom. Don't get too comfortable in that seat now. Thanks for having me on. I've got a question for everyone on the panel. I don't just want your winner of the Grand National. I want your first five. First five home, please. Should be easy.
First five home in the Grand National, PK. That's an easy one. Very suspiciously spacious looking garden as well there, PK has.
Looks like he clicked the first five home last season.
Yeah, it looks like he landed the lot. Well, Ryan, we'll start with you then. The quint cast, we call it.
Yeah.
Easier said than done, but any thoughts on the first five home in the Grand National?
Yeah, I've picked five out that I've given good chances to. Starting with Ain't That a Shame, trained by Henry de Bromhead. He's a good profile going into the race. He won it with Manetta Times a couple of seasons ago. He's a similar profile to him. He's only had 10 starts in his career. So I thought he was the most interesting at the moment for me. Longhouse Poet was one that ran in the race last year. Jumped really well, but was probably ridden too aggressively, I thought. And if they ride him more patiently this year, I think he'll run well. Delta Work, again, he was third in the race last year off a pound higher. I think he's sure to go well this year's race. And then Corrick Rambler and Dunboyne were the last two in the five. So if I can get them in any order, I think I'll be doing okay.
Anything to finish sixth or you just leave it?
I stopped at five now, Tom. All the permutations.
I'll let you off. You're thinking about the bathroom here. Nina, first five home in the Grand National. Any thoughts?
Yeah, obviously I'd love for any second now to go one better than last year. Listen, he's done it every year and he's finished third and second. But I'd really like him to see him putting his head in front, but the handicap girl hasn't been kind to him this year, so it'll be hard for him, but I definitely think he'll be in the first five. Delta Work should be banged there again. The handicapper is obviously a pound better this year for him, whether it's good enough or not, but he shows he's in great form after winning the cross country race. I'd agree with Longhouse Poet. I think he should be banged there as well, and definitely Noble Yates. He's an out-and-out stayer, and Yeah, I think he should be banged there as well. But like, this is all, you have to go and jump. Yeah. Like, how many fences?
You can give us the Euro Millions number.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, that's exactly. Right, yeah. And well, there's that four, and then we have lifetime ambition could run a night's race as well.
Okay, very good. Slippers. We drove up together, and you openly admitted that last night you weren't sure could you name five in the race, let alone what first five were going to finish. So go on, tell us.
Well,
what,
after all your
research,
Neil is after taking a few of mine, but I do fancy Lucinda Russell's horse. I thought he was very good in Cheltenham. He's in off a nice weight, winning trainer and jockey. The jockey and trainer have won it before. Mm-hmm. Cormac Rambler, sorry, and. Yeah. Noble Yates ran a cracking race in the Gold Cup. He's an out-and-out stayer. Jumps really well. He's going back to try and retain his title. I think any second I'm working in with Katie, and any second I was in great form. I think I know he's long ways up in the handicap, but he's going there. We know he jumps well and he stays really well and he's in great form. He'd have a massive chance. Rumour is David Russell's coming back to ride Galvin. I think the race will really, really suit him. He jumped really well. He ran a cracker behind Delta Work in Cheltenham. I think he'll have a massive chance as well. I wonder for Martin Brazel. I'm going to have a soft spot for his horse as well, Longhouse Boat. I agree with Ryan. He was probably ridden a little bit too forward the last time. He jumps really well. I think he'll be dropped in a little bit this year, and hopefully he'll be in the first five.
A question for you. Away from the punters, this is me asking questions now. You mentioned Noble Yates there, and obviously it being a big people's race, the public will latch on to Noble Yates, the defending champion, might have a pound or a euro or a fiver on him. His run style in the Gold Cup, did he hit a bit of a flat spot and then he just kind of stays going? What do you need? And I'll ask this both to yourself and Nina. What way do you ride him? Is he getting a little bit cute in his old age?
I don't think so. I think the Gold Cup this year was run at a very fast pace, and he was probably just going as quick as he was able to go all the way. Where in the National, they'll drop off and they'll go a good clip down over the first four or five fences, and you usually kind of steady up them when you get past the Beecher's Brook or the Canal Turn. They start steadying up and you can get your position. Where I think he's no better travelling, but I think he just got a little bit, the petrol gauge was just flashing a little bit hard halfway through the Gold Cup, and he was just struggling a little bit. But then when they started slowing up a bit, he kept going that same speed. I don't think he actually went any quicker or slower the whole way, where they started slowing up and he stayed at it.
Okay.
I don't think he's getting clever. I thought he was well handicapped last year, and I think it was the right choice to run him in the Gold Cup this year. I had a few quid in him to be. He played 6-6-1, but you know, I think he's gone there with a massive chance again.
Okay, Nina, would you kind of agree with Slipper's plan there? Just kind of keep it simple with him. He just maybe was just tapped for toe in a very fastly run Gold Cup.
Yeah, like Gold Cups are end to end; they don't slow up at all, and they will find out, you know, those weaknesses in those type of horses. But definitely, Noble Yates is his. The best thing about him is his staying power, and you really seen that last year when he hit the elbow. He really powered on to the end, and definitely that's his forte. And I think when he gets back into it again, I don't think he should have that problem in the National, to be honest.
Lovely stuff. Right, we're going to hear from actual punters now, but I believe, PK, thanks for your question, that first five home in the National will, form some sort of Paddy's pick five next week, so make sure to keep your eyes peeled for all the details on that, and you'll be able to get involved with a free-to-play competition on paddypower.com. But next up, we've got a question from Clodagh for Nina and Slippers.
Nina and Niall, how difficult is it to learn the course of the Grand National to the point of knowing what fence is coming next?
So, Niall, you again openly admitted that we were in the middle of Dublin, you didn't have a clue where you were, so
no.
Directions maybe are not your forte, but is it hard to learn your way around the Aintree Grand National, or is it pretty self-explanatory?
I think I've learned something since I got here. It's not to come in a car with you again. I grew up watching the National, watching years and years of it. I don't think there's anywhere you can go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the first five, and then you have the Beecher's Brook, Valentine's, Canal Turn, and then you have Beecher's,
Fornavon,
Canal Turn, Valentine's, and then you have the four, and you're turning in then the two, the chair, the water, and then you do it all again.
Okay.
When you're riding the race, you're counting. When I was riding the race, he was counting. I always thought the third fence in the National was the biggest fence.
Yeah.
It's just down as a ditch. but I always thought it was bigger than the chair. The chair probably just looks a bit bigger because it's a bit narrower. I always thought the third fence was the biggest fence.
They haven't actually dropped the height of that, have they?
No, I don't think
so. Yeah,
no.
They haven't touched that, and that's actually probably one of the
I remember when I was walking the track, Dad walked the track with me that morning, and Dad always said, I remember growing up, Dad always said that was the biggest fence.
Right.
And we walked the track, and he was saying the first, you know, it's grand. Like, you can flick through the top of it. And same with the second. He never said a word about the third. You know, he just kept walking straight past, never said a word. Down to the fourth, same thing again. I said, what about third? Don't mind that. Yeah. You know, but it's... you're always kind of know where you're going.
Yeah.
You have a little hedge when you come to Beecher's Brook. There's a little hedge on the left-hand side. You know you're coming to Beecher's.
Okay.
You know, like, and then you're turning then and you're working your way back home. You go over to Mellon Road. Like, you know, it's the only place you probably could go wrong is when you jump the last. You have to veer out to the right, so you're not jumping the chair. But if you're going that well, thinking to jump the chair the second time, now you're you should be winning anyway.
Yeah.
Ryle would be a good...
yeah.
He went straight for the... to jump the chair again, whereas he had to come back. He probably lost the race because of it, you know. He didn't, the elbow,
he didn't go
straight for the elbow, you know, but sometimes I can get caught up in things.
And probably you've got a lot of casual racing fans who maybe tune in for Cheltenham, maybe Punchestown, but they'll always watch the Grand National, and they're maybe confusing it with the cross country in Punchestown and Cheltenham, where it's you need a map going with you for that, all right. But would you say the Grand National is a bit more self explanatory in terms of course?
Definitely. As Niall said, there's a big hedge coming on the left hand side as you're coming to Beecher's, so at least you know that this is Beecher's now. You know, there is a lot of horses around you, so it's nice to know that there's a big hedge coming, all right, this is Beecher's, I better move a little bit. But it's not as bad a drop now, I don't think anymore. They've kind of taken that brook out of it, which is which was obviously needed, but it doesn't jump as bad anymore on the inside. So a
you
lot
see,
of people.
You see, plenty of them actually still just go bang down the rail now.
Yeah, they don't really. They dip. Before you used to like really have to hold your head, the horse's head up.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't, you know. But now there's no real difference now in the inside.
Okay, very.
There's
good.
Actually plenty of the fence, and just when you say it, there's like so you've Beecher's, Farnhaven, and the Canal Turn. You're actually jumping them all, turning.
Yeah.
You know, like
swinging left.
Yeah, you're swinging left the whole time.
Okay.
You know, Canal Turn is obviously a very hard left, but if you jump Beaches, you're turning a bit left. You jump Farnhaven, you're turning left.
Yeah.
It's like
they have all the fences angled as well.
Yeah.
It's really making you go down the inside. And I think it goes the other way then.
Yeah.
At Valentine's.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes out. So it's a very tricky course. And
okay.
It can really put horses off if they're not used to it.
Very good. Great insight there. Lovely stuff. Onwards we go. Next question. This one, Ryan, it's your time to shine. We've got a question from Niall.
My question is for Ryan. What's the worst result in the book for the Grand National?
A very high energy question from Niall there. Worst result in the book for Paddy Power, Ryan, at this point in time?
Yeah, there's two books we have, obviously. The Antipost book that we've been running since last April. Obviously, that would have been up long now at this stage. And then we've the non-earned money back book as well. So in the Antipost book, Delta Work, he's been popular all through the season. Started laying him at about 20-1. He's into around half that now. And then the big breakaway in the non-earned money back book over the last few weeks, he's laid a biggest price of 40-1. He's now around 25-1. So we'd expect obviously a lot more activity towards the race. But at the moment, they're the two horses we want to avoid.
In terms of like your day job, obviously you're an odds compiler here. You'd be working all the big meetings throughout the year, and everyone kind of says, "Enter Grand National, biggest race of the year, biggest betting race of the year." How big is it in real terms, like in comparison to kind of your run of the mill meeting, or even comparison to some of the races at the Cheltenham Festival? Is as a race, is it so far and away above the rest in terms of turnover? And
yeah,
bet
it would
count
be. As you mentioned there a few minutes ago, Tom, like the casual fan would probably watch Cheltenham, but they won't have a bet in every race, and they might not know all the horses, or they might not want to get involved in the bet. They'll just watch it. Whereas the Aintree Grand National, everyone, even if the sweepstakes that are putting in €2 or €1 or whatever, everyone will have a bet in the race. We always see a really good spread. Like with 40 runners, we lay every horse in the race. Where that, obviously in Cheltenham, we probably will too, but to a much lesser extent. So when the Aintree Grand National comes around, it's obviously a 3-day festival, but that race matters more than any other race at the festival. Just Grade One races, just like Cheltenham, but the Aintree Grand National is the standalone race at that 3-day festival, and we see it with the bets we lay, yeah.
Lovely stuff. Thank you, Ryan. Righto, next question coming up. Kate's been in touch and has one for Nina and Slippers.
Hi. So I have a question for Nina and Niall. So when you were still jockeys and riding at Aintree, did you treat yourselves to a few cheeky nights out in Liverpool afterwards?
Lovely stuff. Thank you, Kate. Nina, start with you. Did you ever have a go on the lash in Liverpool before riding?
Not so quite so much. No, but it was always a bit of a downer riding in the National and then going to ride in Tramore the next day. I don't know how Niall felt after winning. Did you have to ride in Tramore the next day? Did you go? Yeah, but I remember obviously Bobby Joe winning and we definitely partied all night. So that was one thing I remember after the Saturday of Aintree.
Very good. Go on.
I just answered it. I know. Yeah, sir. I suppose you're not really going out the night before or anything like your.
Yeah.
When I won it, I went over. I flew over the night before and just stayed in the hotel and got up the next morning. Went and walked the track early, but after. I wish I did stay because I found out a couple of weeks later that I could have gone out to Anfield. Liverpool are playing and on the Sunday I could have brought the trophy out and I would have been able, but sure, easy to find out a couple of weeks later. But I came home that night.
Consummate professional.
Oh yeah, I came home that night. I was in Tramore the next day, so very professional. And I actually ended up in Tiger Lilies in Kildare. And then went to Tramore and went out again the Monday night. And then went to, I think Tramore could have been on the Tuesday as well. It was actually, I went out the Tuesday night. And then there was no race on Wednesday, Thursday. I went out Wednesday and Thursday.
Oh, lovely. Very nice.
They talk about going out anyway before, but I was watching videos from way back and my dad was riding in them or whatever. And then you'd see them coming out of the weigh room. They all drinking shots of whiskey coming out. So they're like, that, gone for years. That is, you're not allowed obviously drinking anymore. Yeah, but yeah. Like, they were giving them shots of whiskey before they were heading out in the National.
They've just lowered the fences now instead, haven't they? Yeah. Don't give them whiskey. Don't just make sure the fences are on.
A bit of Dutch courage.
You always hear they used to be in the sauna like before the on Aintree Day, like Aintree Grand National Day. They used to be in the sauna, and so they'd be drinking away in the sauna, like drinking. I'd be dehydrating yourself as well, trying to get the weight down.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say they were. Plenty of them on board now going out, or brave as anything.
Different times. Better times. Yeah, very good. Great insight there. Right, we've got another nerdy trading question up for Ryan again, courtesy of Cormac.
I have a question for Ryan. We obviously know the Grand National will be the race with the most turnover, but what other races from the Aintree meeting will fill the frame? Grade ones or handicaps?
Okay, bit of a deep dive here from Cormac. He wants to get into the rest of the Aintree Festival. I would say, from an outsider's perspective, and tell me if I'm wrong, would it be pretty lackluster in terms of turnover? It wouldn't do as much, would it?
No, it wouldn't do as much as Cheltenham and stuff like that. It just depends on the makeup of the race, to be honest. Like, when you look at the Aintree hurdle this year, for instance, you've Constitution Hill, who'll be whatever, 1-5 if he runs. So we're not going to take too much in that. We'd be looking towards distance markets and stuff like that to try and drum up a bit of turnover in that race. The handicaps do quite well. We pay extra places in them, so we obviously lay a wide variety of horses in them, so they do quite well. When you look at the makeup of the Aintree Bowl this year, it should be really good. There's plenty of well-known horses, obviously, and that's important in festivals such as Aintree, because when the casual punter comes in and they know the names of horses and the jockeys and stuff like that, they're more likely to have a bet on something. So it just depends, basically, on the betting makeup of the race. If it's competitive, we'll see good turnover, and if not, we won't.
Okay. Very good. Onwards we go. James has got one for Nina.
Yeah, I just have a question for Nina. You completed the Grand National course quite a few times in your career. And I was just wondering, how did that compare to winning the Fox Hunters Chase at Aintree on the Fringe? Thanks.
Thanks, James. So, getting around or winning, which one did you prefer?
I suppose it was probably a lifetime bucket list thing to do, was trying to ride in the National. Yep. And to get around that day, it felt like amazing. You know, I was riding Forrest Gunner and it was brilliant. I actually thought I had a chance of doing well across the Mellon Road, only two left to jump, and he just didn't stay. But it was a brilliant experience, and obviously after that, then all you want to do is win. So everything else is a disappointment, you know. But when I rode on the Fringe, I got the best spin ever going around those fences, and he was foot perfect everywhere, and he didn't really come off the bridle, so it was amazing to ride him. Yeah, probably wouldn't swap on the Fringe now, to be honest.
He was such a legend though, wasn't he? Yeah. Like those magic couple of seasons there, the double treble, and
yeah, he was an amazing horse, and he probably wasn't an out and out stayer the 3 miles in Cheltenham, but I think Aintree was probably really his race because he was such a brilliant jumper as well.
Okay, great stuff. There you go, James. And speaking of victories and legendary horses at Aintree, Tasha's got one for Slippers.
Niall, I know you won the Grand National, your first ever ride in that race at a young age. How nervous were you that day and were you able to enjoy it?
Thanks, Tasha. Were you able to enjoy it?
Oh, I was. Of course I was. Like,
how nervous were you in the morning? So you say you flew over that
over
morning.
The night before.
And you were at what age?
20.
So, greenish?
Oh, big time. I hadn't ridden a winner in England and I hadn't really got much of a record in entry either. I hadn't ridden over the fences, but there was an amateur race that used to be on after the National.
Yeah.
An amateur chase.
Okay.
And I rode in it 3 years and never got over the first.
Sorry. That's impressive.
I always got over the first. Okay. I was never on horseback at the back of the first.
Okay.
I got brought down twice and I fell once.
Okay.
So.
Does that kind of thing play on your mind? Particularly when you're younger, like.
It probably did play on my mind a little bit.
A little bit of a hoodoo kind of thing.
But they weren't over those fences, they were over the National fences.
Yeah,
but
obviously
the National fences were way bigger. But, I was, listen, you were nervous, but I was excited.
You were in the zone. I remember lining up beside him and we were jumping off.
That's right.
And it was a false start. And I said, Niall's a false start. Shut up.
Don't talk to me.
We were ready to win.
We lined up sides because, like, obviously you wanted to get a good start for the National.
Yeah.
And we're walking around and Nina's beside me anyway. And we jumped off and I was like, happy day. Good, right start. And next thing he goes, false start. I was like, what? It's false start. I was like, sake, you know, and had to come around and we were trotting back. I said, well, geez, we'll never get a start like that again. And it's like, no. So I jumped off anyway and I was like, I'm happy enough with my start and looked around. I was like, Nina's not there. I was like,
come on. You're all the way around then.
But yeah, listen, it's the National. Like, of course you're nervous. Like,
yeah.
Yes, yeah, I probably
and
woke
morning
up.
Routine then. Go on, talk me through morning. Your that day, if you can remember.
So I got up that morning. She remembered everything. Like, yeah, you know, like, got up that morning, went to the race course, actually met number six there. I didn't write him out, like, met him fine, met Martin. Went and walked the track with Dad, walked around, gave me plenty of advice and here and there. Dad rode in it a few times. I think the best he was six, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Walked the track, came back in, went up to the weigh room. It was the first year of the new entry.
Yep.
Of the new
stand,
new stand and
yeah.
new parade ring and that. Yeah. Like, so I went in there and met Phil the valet and everything, you know, and everything was going. Like, yes, you're nervous, but like, yeah, you could say you're shitting yourself at the same time, but you're not, like, you're just so excited to get going. It's supposed like going for any fella going playing an All-Ireland final or playing in a World Cup or, you know, like, they're that kind of excited, nervous. But once you jump off the race, like, it's just like riding any other race. You're out to do a job, like, you know.
And was there pressure on you from connections? Was this like, this is fancied? Or is it kind of, it's the National, it's a lottery away?
I knew myself I was fancied, you know, but, like, you're always putting pressure on yourself.
You won them all the Tiestes, didn't you? And then Ruby won the Irish National.
I was an amateur when I won the Tiestes on them, and I was still an amateur when I went for the Irish National. And then I turned that summer, like, so. But yeah, like, you're always putting pressure on yourself more than anything when you're riding a race, because, like, you want to win. I knew he was fancied, and I knew he had a big chance. He was going with the right profile. He was a Tiestes winner, an Irish National winner, which Bobby Joe had won an Irish National, and Hedgehunter had won it the year before, had won a Tiestes. Like, you know, he was going with the right profile. I remember what the dad said to me when we were walking the track and we got to the turn in, and he says, if you're 7 or 8 lengths or 10 lengths off the horse in front, you'll win. I ended up going grand, like, you know, because I stay so well.
Mm.
So I turned in then in the actual race and I'm upsides in front and I'm going, I'm going to win. You know, I'm with certainty, like, I'm like upsides in front. But like, yeah, like, it's once, as I said, you're nervous, but if you weren't, you wouldn't be human if you weren't, because you're excited to get going, and once you jump off in the race, it's like riding any other race.
And you say you kind of got the dream start after the false start, and you've obviously jumped the first few well, and they kind of say, are you only hunting in the first circuit? I don't know.
You're trying to survive.
Yeah,
isn't
just
it?
Trying to stay
I was,
up.
I actually ended up being.
What did you ride that year? Can you remember?
It was Carterbillon, was it?
Did you not ride?
Oh, it was Forest
Gunner, yeah.
Was it 2006?
Forest Gunner, okay.
I couldn't actually, when I was coming down to the third fence, I actually couldn't see the other side of it.
Okay.
And I was like, I wonder is Renton fall, because he was so small.
Really?
So I was coming up to it. That's how big
the third fence is. The third fence is big, yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
And so you hunted around your first circuit.
I was actually going, I was flat to the boards, because I jumped off and I had a great position. But the further we were going into the race, the further I was getting back, because I couldn't go the gallop they were going. And with number six, you couldn't really force him. If you forced him, he'd give up a little bit.
You know, force
him too early. Like.
Yeah.
But by the time I got over the chair and the water and I turned the bend out in the second circuit, I ended up exactly where I wanted to be, because they started slowing up and I was able to get the position I wanted. And it was just a easy, like riding an armchair from there then.
And at what point did you kind of go, I'm going to win?
I suppose as you jump the last and I landed in front and you've seen so many nationals change from the last home with such a long run in. But like, as the interview I did, like, and Lydia asked me, when did you know you won? I said, when I went past the line.
But
you knew when you went past the kind of the water jump, when you were going past, you kind of know, like, you're a little peep, that you know you're that far in front. Like,
does the run from the last of the line feel as long as people say?
Yeah, it is. Like, it's, I wish it was longer now because I could enjoy it longer, but you're in it, like, and I couldn't hear any, like, when I turned the elbow, like, I couldn't hear anything. All I could hear was me shouting and the horses galloping. But, like, when I once went over the line, I could just hear this crowd, it's like they weren't there, just arrived, because I just couldn't hear them. But, yeah, it's a feeling like no other.
Great stuff. Great question, Tasha. Thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after this.
Betting can add a little excitement to any sporting event,
but only if it's done safely, responsibly, and within our means.
Never gamble when angry or feeling low.
Set yourself a limit for time, money, or both.
No matter what the problem is, gambling is never.
It's never the answer.
There is always someone to talk to when you feel gambling is becoming a stress.
Check out responsiblegaming.paddypower.com.
Okay, welcome back. People love, apparently, hearing about bookies losing money. So we've got a question for Ryan coming up next.
Hey, guys. So my question is for Ryan. Just wondering what has been the worst Grand National result for the trading room in your time? And then can you go on to describe what the room was like as you watched the race unfold? Cheers.
That's in from Stephen. Thank you very much, Stephen. Ryan, what is it like when the trading room doesn't get its own way?
Yeah, well, like, we all work for Bookmaker, obviously, but we're all fans of racing, like, first and foremost, I think. So,
stop trying to get out of this before you even start. Come on.
Tiger Rose, second victory in the race. He went off 4-1, so that's as short as I can remember, anyway, for a horse going off that price in the Grand National. For a horse to go off as short as that, and, like, he needs to be loved publicly, I'd imagine. Probably have the best form in the race, definitely have course form. So he ticks nearly every box going there his second year. So he was a horse we could have done with getting beaten. Like, so all the way around, I remember watching the race and he gets so low to the fences, like normal fences. Mm-hmm. And then he gets so low that you think you have a chance of getting him beat. You're saying the next fence, well, he can't get over the next one if he does what he done the last fence. Does it again and gets over it. So you're just saying, right, and then he's ticking off fences, ticking them off. He stumbled badly, I think, at one of them. But then all of a sudden, like, there's about 3 or 4 to jump and you're looking and you just know he's going to win. Like, it was just fate, I think. So we lost plenty of money on him, as you can imagine, going off that price. And as I said, we didn't really have a chance of getting him beat. But then Tiger Woods went on just over a week later to win the golf, the Masters in 2019. So you can imagine the amount of doubles that people do. We'd like doubles up all week. Tiger Roll to win the National and Tiger Woods to win the Masters. And that was more of a bigger drumming we got than the actual horse winning itself.
But
it was a really popular double, obviously. So his second victory. As I said at the start, like, we are racing fans, so, like, we're disappointed when we look at the figure we lost, and then you're kind of like, oh, it's great for him, in fairness, that he did win, because he was a marvellous horse, obviously.
Yeah, good to see you do have a heart in there somewhere. The Grand National, bringing all the trading boffins out of the woodwork. We have another one here for you from Ollie.
I have a question for Ryan regarding Grand National trading. How difficult is it to move a market in the race? For a horse to change price, does it take an awful lot more money than it normally would? Thanks,
Ollie. Ryan, I assume it kind of depends how close it is to post time, does it?
Yeah, like, I've had a look the last few years, like, and I can't really recall too many that have gone off. Like, they're really well backed in the up to the race itself. Like, Seabass was really well backed the year he was placed. He went off 11-2 favourite. Don't Push It Then, he was, when Tony McCoy won on his only winner, he was 20-10 on the show. But I think, in general, it takes plenty of money to move a horse's price in the race, given the volume we're laying across all of the selections. Like, obviously, for a horse to move price, you need the weight of money to be on that particular horse. Whereas in the National, you just don't get that. We get a wide spread of bets. So there's kind of small movements between a few horses. But, this year, obviously, Rachel Blackmore is going to be so popular. Whatever she rides, we'll take a little bit of cover there because she's just so popular at the moment. Like, we've seen it in Cheltenham. We noticed that whatever, she could ride anything in a race and we'll overstake on her. So we just have to kind of be careful with that, our liabilities, that they don't get too big. But Rachel Blackmore is going to be really popular this year. And if Davy Russell rides Galvin as well in probably his last National, he's another that's going to be well back. So them little storylines can attract a lot of money, but overall it would take a massive weight of money to move a horse significantly in price.
Okay, very good, very good. Right, enough of the trading stuff, and we're back to the proper chat now. One here for Nina and Slippers again from Patrick.
Hi folks, question for Nina and Niall. When you were riding in the Grand National, were there any particular fences that you enjoyed jumping, or any that you dreaded? The chair is particularly iconic, I suppose. Would that give you sleepless nights leading up to the National?
Thanks, Patrick. Nina, anything you dreaded or particularly enjoyed when it came to jumping fences in the Grand National?
Well, I jumped the Beechers a few times before it. The brook was taken out of it, so getting over that was a big thrill, and knowing that you've completed that twice and heading out then for the
trail afterwards, before, you're going to like, ooh.
Well, you're kind of knowing that it's coming and making sure that you're meeting it on a nice stride and you're not going to dip at the end of it. But I used to hate the canal turn coming to it, because you couldn't control the people around you, and if they're going to cut you off coming to it. And 1 year I was riding Organized Confusion. I thought he had a really good chance, and we just got wiped out. Andrew Thornton thought, I'd say we were still on one of the normal jumps, and he went straight on. He wiped about five of us out.
Oh,
nice. So that was one jump you didn't really have much control, so you had to kind of be in command going to that fence.
Okay. Slippers, well, anything that you really enjoyed or really dreaded? Obviously, the first was you've got a bit of history with the first, but anything in the national fences that you kind of dreaded or enjoyed?
Sure. When I won it, I don't think I made a mistake. I dipped a little bit at the back of Beechers, but didn't really make any mistakes. Like, it's like everything when you're riding a good jumper, you love doing it. Like, and if they make a mistake, you're dreading it. Like, you know, what's he going to do with the next? But as Nina was saying, you can't control people around you, and that's probably the biggest problem right in the National, because everyone's looking after themselves, and if there's a horse in front of them and you're here and the horse has to make a mistake in front of them, they're trying to keep away from him because he might do the same, and he's getting into your line a little bit. But I suppose the chair is big old spread in the chair, and you're trying to meet it. You're not trying to meet it too long. You're trying to meet it on one of those. You're trying to meet it in a little bit tight, because if you're tight, you're kind of spot on.
It gets very crowded coming into it, because it's very narrow.
Yeah. You know, but there's no, I don't think there's any tricky fence. Like, they all take a bit of jumping. But yeah, it's just trying to, you're being very wary. Like, as Nina said, there's 40 runners, and you have to ride your own horse, but you have to be very wary of what's around you, who's not taken to the fences, because not every horse, you even get some good jumpers that don't take to it. And you'd be very wary of that. And we've white fences, or white railings this year too, like our white frames. So like, that's just another little thing you have to keep an eye out. You're trying to ride your own horse, but you're keeping an eye on everyone else then as well.
That was actually going to be my follow-up question, was in terms of preparing to ride in the Grand National, how much time do you put into studying other horses and how well they jump? It's like, if you have somebody marked and you can see them in front of you, and you kind of go, they're a bit dicey, just thrown in here because they're off a decent mark. Do you pay attention to that?
I think,
or
it was
you...
more Ryder I used to follow. Like,
okay,
I remember Ruby. I was like, right, I'm going to follow Ruby now. It'd be grand. And next thing, he got a fall. I think a couple of races beforehand, he wasn't riding. I was like, who am I going to follow now? I knew Paul. I knew Ruby. I was like, what if I follow McCoy? So followed him around. I got around safe. I think he rode Don't Push It. So it was a nice horse to follow the whole way around.
Okay,
stop when following McCoy. It took him that long to
learn. I know. That's not good here to follow him.
You knew that, yeah.
But I knew what ran out of jockeys.
Very good, very good. Right, well, we've come to the final question of our punters panel show, and to wrap things up, it's another one from Ryan, for Ryan, from Dara.
Hey Ryan, do you have a method for trying to find the Grand National winner? For example, do you use trends to eliminate half the field?
So Ryan, talk us through the number crunching that goes on in your head. How do you whittle down the field to pick what you think is going to win the Grand National?
Yeah, I think there's no set trends. Like, I just think you have to kind of judge each horse as it comes. Like, for me personally, like the last 6 years of the race, every winner was under 10 years of age. So that's something I'd be kind of looking for, more unexposed horses than maybe what we had previously. Horses that have ran well in the race before is a big positive. It's probably like self-explanatory, in fairness, but then on the flip side of that, horses that have ran in the race and ran poorly or ran around the track before, that'd be a big negative for me. It's very hard, I think, for a horse to not finish in the race and then come back and win it. I can't think of too many in the last 10 or 12 years or so. So The horse I fancy in it this year ain't that a shame. I think he's only had 10 starts in his career. So he's a 9-year-old, but he's a lot of room for improvement. So I think you're looking for horses that have the ability to improve, or whether they didn't have too many starts, or they look on a handicap mark that's decent, or things like that. When you go back to the likes of Rule the World, he'd never won over fences previously. The horse I fancy this year never won over 3 miles plus. Manila Times was the same, never won over 3 miles plus. So even though it is a niche test, being 4 miles and 2 furlongs or whatever, you don't actually need a horse that's an absolute plodder that stays 3.5 miles plus. I think you can get away with a class horse who has that bit of pace early on that can stay in the race. I think that's important. And obviously you're looking for good jumpers, aren't you? So any horse that can race a little bit prominently, like this year, you've Corrick Rambler, who's going to be favourite, but he's going to be ridden with a lot of patience by Derek Fox out the back, you'd imagine. So he need a lot of luck in running. Mm-hmm. So at around 5 or 6 to 1, he wouldn't be one for me from a win point of view anyway. I think for him to win, he'll need a lot of luck in running. So horses that maybe run a little bit prominently, I think they might be ones to take.
And Nina, a lot of people seem to say that the Grand National has changed a lot over the last couple of years. It used to be a lottery, now it's maybe leans more towards kind of those classier types. Would that be the case? Would you kind of
tend to agree? Yeah, most definitely. The course has changed so much. Like, as I said, we could go down the inside now and not really feel any repercussions at the Beechers. You know, all that, those brooks have been taken out of it and making it a lot safer. So it's basically they're jumping off now and going to right go gallop the whole way. And if you can't lie up, you're going to be right out the back, and it's very hard to catch up, especially if the ground is going to be good to soft. So, yeah, it's not easy to peg back those good horses. And the likes of Tiger Roll probably wouldn't have got around 10 years ago, you know. Those type of horses are still there in it at the end, and it gives them a chance to be there. And, yeah, the likes of those Gold Cup horses are bang there at the end, and they're very classy.
If you're ringing around for a ride in the race this year, profile-wise, what are you looking for? In the similar way that Ryan's maybe crunching the numbers, from a jockey's perspective, what's the profile you're looking for in terms of looking for a good ride in
just,
the race?
Just before that, Nina said, like, we say Tiger Roll wouldn't have got around, like, 10, 15 years ago, like, you know, but 10, 15 years before we rode,
no,
we might have got around. No, it keeps changing, like, every time, and the fences are an awful lot safer now. They're an easy fixed fence with the birch over them, but when we were riding over them, like, they're proper solid wooden frames.
Yeah, with they just had the telegraph poles underneath, so
they were proper wooden, like, you know. And we saw it, Clan Royal actually made a mistake there. I wanted, like, and cut the whole chest off himself, like, you know, that's how solid they were, like. But yeah, like, you're looking for, I don't think you're looking for the profile that used to be there, like your Tiestes winners and your Irish Grand National winners. Like, yes, they have chances, but that's not the profile they're looking for now. I think you're kind of looking for a horse that, a 2.5 horse, because they need to travel early on to be sweet. And it's a flat, like, entry is very, very flat. I'd say if you have a 2.5 horse, you'll get the national trip. But they have to run over 3 miles to qualify for it. You have to run over 3 miles to qualify to run in it. I think Lindsay Russell's horse, Corrick Rambler, like, I think he's the right profile. He travels well, he jumps really well. Yes, he's to be ridden for a bit of luck, but it's a bit of luck anyway, you know. So he'd be the one that I'd have my favour on anyway. If I'd wanted to ride one, it'd be any second now, because he's classed, been around there a few times, and he's a great old jumper, you know. But that's my heart in my head.
Lovely stuff. And Nina, you'd be siding with any second now.
Yeah, definitely. Been around there twice. Great spin.
Very good. Very good. Right, well, that's it. That's all we've got time for. Thank you to our panel of Slippers, Nina, and, of course, Ryan, who's now free to go to the bathroom. And thanks to you, punters, for sending in all your questions. If you're having a bet on the Grand National or at any time, please remember to gamble responsibly. And the Punchers panel is back ahead of the Punchestown Festival. So if you have any questions in advance of Punchestown, send them in via email to fthm@paddypower.com, and producer Mark will pick those up. But for now, that's all we've got time for. My name is Tom Nugent, and that was another episode of the Punchers panel, brought to you straight from the horse's mouth.